gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been their fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues, including addiction, and we used to always say in school issues. Unfortunately, that we are all homebound now and doing homeschooling, so we are going to talk about the mental health part tonight, about the challenges that people are facing being home, at home with their own issues, whether it's anxiety, whether it's any addiction issue, abuse, whatever it may be that one is facing. And our number is 718-758-0400. You can call us. We're open. We have therapists that are available to speak to you. Give us a call. Let us know what the challenges are now while you're home, and we will try and get you to speak to the right person, the right therapist, to help you. Tonight, I am very happy to have with us a dear friend, a colleague, so many years, Malky Spira, who's a licensed mental health counselor. She's a therapist in private practice in Borough Park, and she uses many different types of therapy in a Turdick basis. She helps people move past their struggles, and she's also an inspirational speaker. Malky shares a wealth of knowledge. She has her own hotline where she offers shiurim on hashgaphic topics and a wide variety of mental health issues, including parenting and shalom bayit. So first, I'd like to welcome you on, Malky. Thank you for making the time. I know you're so busy now, and your own family being home around you as well. So thank you for making the time tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's really always an honor and a privilege to be part of the MASK outreach, because the work that MASK does is so critical. The people who need it most have a place to turn, and therefore, I'm really happy to be here with you, to be able to help you in what I really consider to be a HaKadosh, to be here so that we can support each other to get through this really challenging time.
Yes, challenging for so many different reasons, Malky. There are people that lost their jobs, they're not getting paid. There are people that suffer on a regular sunny day, in a regular life when life was going on, and we only had, you know, shopping bags to worry about that issue. They suffer with anxiety, they suffer with addiction, and now suddenly, they're full-time mothers with three meals a day, 7 days a week. Their husbands are home. Wives that usually work are home. Kids of all ages are home. I mean, we need to offer these mothers some tips on how to get through their day, but not only get through their day for the others that they need a gift to, but to be their best self with everyone home in the midst of huge challenges that we are all have been facing.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We're so challenged, and just trying to keep some kind of structure. I mean, Ruchama, it's interesting, but I speak to many mothers, and people are concerned about the health ramifications of the corona. They're worried if people are not well or people who are immunocompromised. And they're also very worried, a lot of concern about the financial issues, about the husbands who are home, not sure how bills will be paid, how Pesach will be made, how rents will be paid. Very basic financial issues have now become almost overwhelming burdens. But yet, still in all, when I speak to mothers, what they're most struggling with is the fact that their children are home from the morning to night, and children are needy, and everyone is looking for an advocate or someone to stick up for them or make things right. There's some expectation that mothers should be moving a schedule along, and people have shown me a number of different schedules. And when they started out, Ruchama, people had a lot more ideas and neat, cute schedules that said, we'll be doing this from 9:30 till 10:15, and then we'll do that from 10:15 till 11 o'clock. But what's happened over time is that people are seeing, many, many mothers, most of us are seeing, we really can't maintain that schedule that they maintain in school. And I think one thing I'd love to share with mothers is don't beat yourself up about it, and don't expect this should be working for you, and don't imagine that it's working by other people just because you might see some cute pictures on Instagram or whatnot, because this is really hard. If you think in terms of what it takes for a child to be sitting in class, right, when you're trying to maintain homeschooling, what does it take for a child to be sitting in class? Well, there's a principal who maintains the decorum and holds authority for the school, and there's a secretary. She's taking care of all the logistics, and then there's a janitor. He's keeping the place clean. There's no laundry necessary, but there's a cook. She's keeping the food running, and there's a teacher. And what the teacher is doing is the teacher with her presence. Just by the fact that she is in the room, the teacher maintains the classroom atmosphere. She keeps the children on task. She keeps children moving from one step to the next. If we expect that we're going to be able to make a schedule and then our children are going to follow along with something like that, we really need to rethink that. And I think just for us mothers to take a deep breath and say, this is different than anything we've ever experienced before, and the old rules aren't going to work. We can't hope to just superimpose those old rules on this time and expect it to work, because it takes much more than that. So I think what's most important is that we be able to be very, very fluid with the schedule. Any schedule we make, we expect it just as it should flow along if it works, and if not, have a lot of backup plans, not backup 2, but backup 3 and backup 4, understanding that we'll need to build in to the schedule different types of activities, whether we're turning on the tape and dancing to the music, or whether we're having everybody take a minute to write down their feelings. And sometimes we need those most ourselves. But we should not, surely not, expect that we're going to make a schedule, and then if we just keep positive enough, the children are going to dance along with that schedule day after day. So I think most of what we need to maintain normalcy is to allow ourselves to accept that it's not normal and to give ourselves a huge amount of self-compassion. This is an unprecedented time. We have no framework for this. We never lived it. We didn't see our parents live something like this. So we are on uncharted territory, and we need to make it up as we go along. So there's one thing that comes to mind. During World War II, there was a sign that they used in England a lot. It said, keep calm and carry on. That's a sign that they used, and a saying that they used a lot during the war. And somehow it comes to mind for me, and I'm thinking that that's a really good, that's a good frame of mind to maintain. And you might even want to make yourself a sign like that or print one out if you find that on the computer. And so it's keep calm and carry on. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to keep calm in spite of whatever might happen. And we're looking to maintain some kind of our structure. Our structure says three meals, and our structure says let's try for a bedtime, because these are very important. These are critically important to maintain some kind of stability. But I think what's really important for us, Ruchama, most of everything is to keep that calm and to look into ourselves and say, what do we need? What do we need for ourselves to help ourselves keep calm when all this uncertainty is going on? And different people talk about different things. You know, Ruchama, I'm curious if you could add to my list, but people talk about the finances. They're talking about the medical worries, but they're also talking about things like what if Mashiach comes? A lot of people are talking about that, and my children are worried, what's going to happen then? And are we still going to have our home if Mashiach comes? And what about our sister who's OTD? What's going to happen to her? You know, so there are concerns and worries that children could be walking around with. And just in general, where is this going? We're home from school and there's no shul, there's no davening. The whole basic structure of their days has been so disturbed for so long that we need to expect that they will be, can I say cuckoo? They're going to be off the wall. They're not going to be cooperative, and they're not going to be keeping calm along with us. It's going to be up to us to really be the ballast, up to us to try to keep ourselves calm. And even if we can't, then we lose it, to have compassion for ourselves and then come back to that calm.
So Malki, I'm going to interrupt you and sure. say that, like you said, the kids are going to be bouncing off. Some kids are going to be bouncing off the walls. I mean, there are kids that are ADD, ADHD. You said OTD. For those that don't know, that's off the derech. They left the fold. They're not following their family's ways, whether it's religion. Maybe there are kids that are not living at home with their families, which is also a painful thing, that a mother or a father could be worried about, where is my child, where's he or her hanging out, are they taking good care of themselves? I mean, there's so many different things that could be going on in every family, and it is very stressful. I do want to point out that there are resources available. There are so many organizations that are putting out programs, and anybody can give us a call at the NASP number 718-758-0400, and we can give you information on different programs that are being made available. Want to describe your issues that you're struggling with. There are many organizations. There's also teletherapy that's available. If you have insurance and you want a therapist, we can get you to a therapist in your community near where you live that you can do teletherapy. And then after, God willing, everyone should be well and we're out of this big crisis, you can then continue seeing that therapist, if you choose, in person. So let's try and remember there are resources that are available to help you, and anyone that needs them should call. I'd like to go back to the children. Malki, how do the moms, what suggestions do you have for moms that children are fighting with each other, little children, not in a bad way. I mean, they're just, you know, together 24/7, and maybe some live, a lot of children in, you know, small quarters, small apartments. Maybe there's, you know,
5 children in, you know, a 2-bedroom apartment. And then there are people that even if they live in the biggest house, they could still have issues with little children just, you know, fighting with each other after being around each other so long in the house, you know, losing their mind. So what do you want to say to those parents, how to help them, please?
So for the first thing that I'd like to say is, as we were discussing before, self-compassion. Understand that you may not have a perfect solution for this situation. Ruchama suggested call, and I think it's a wonderful idea. Many people are calling out, even if they don't generally. Now is the time to reach out and talk to someone. Some people have even benefited from taking a medication, if that's what was necessary. And there are people available by phone that can help you with this. Children may or may not, many of them don't even understand the importance to talk to someone on phone, but you as the mother, you want to support yourself in that way. That being said, more than the activities that you might come up with, and like Ruchama says, there are a wealth of possibilities. If you have the potential to connect to things online, there's an unbelievable amount of resources for mothers who are home now. But I think if we come back to the school, and you think the amount of resources that are necessary to get a child to cooperate and move from activity to activity, we need to realize that us as mothers, if we're trying to do this job, need two things. The first thing is drop all expectations of running a home in a certain way or making a Pesach in a certain way. Our only goal is to get from morning to night with as much sense of peace in the home as is possible. And I'm going to come back to that, but that's a very important point. But practically, that means that if your children go off your schedule, you want to move off with them. And here's the first practical tip I'm going to have. And it comes from a very respected therapist, a researcher in the field of parenting and psychology. His name is Gordon Newfield. And what he says is, and I think as I share this with you, open your hearts and take this into your heart, not just into your mind. What we need to do is collect our children's hearts. He calls it collecting our children. Because if what we need is authority, we're probably dead in the water because we don't have that strength. But if we're drawing children with the magnetism of love, if they feel that we're there and we're connected and we hear them, then we have them following us like little ducks follow the mother duck in a little row coming after us. And it's so beautiful what he suggests, because it's such a tiny little intervention, and it looks like this. You enter your child's space, right? You come a little close, and the child will usually look up at you, and then you make eye contact back with your child, and you touch your child in some way, maybe a slight tap on the shoulder or a little like punch in the arm, and he calls that collecting. He says what you've done at that point is it's the magic magnetism between the parent and child, and the child is yours. You own them then. You have their heart. But you have to make sure that you do it through your day. It has to happen again and again, bit by bit. Once the child feels connected to you in that way, then whatever it is that you do to present them, whatever activities that you'd like to engage them in, the likelihood of them cooperating with you becomes so much greater. So that would be my first thing. Again, that's collecting. Collecting means moving into their space, and when they kind of show you, you're welcome, making eye contact, making a little body touch, and then just kind of, it's like you plugged yourself into your child and your child back into you. And whatever you add to that, that it'll just smooth things along so that the children are yours and you can work with them. So collecting is a nice idea. I also believe in the fact that the children are cooped up. That means that they have a lot of energy that they're usually expending that they can't. Now also, when our brain goes into fight or flight mode, it wants to move. It has pent up energy building up in the system. And again, it's really important to think whatever activities you're going to do, do physical activities. Do pillow fights. Turn on music and have pillow fights. if you feel that that gets too wild in your home, what we've done with a lot of parents is sock fights. But get everyone that can be involved involved and have music on and maybe have a checker and have a points taker. But this is not just fun. You need to look at it as a mother. We need to find a constructive way to get rid of energy, especially if, as Ruchama says, lots of children, small area, and also they're nervous. And we know what people do with anxiety. Some people internalize it and become very clingy and worried. Some people externalize it and become very aggressive. So if our children are fighting or aggressive or crawling on each other's nerves, if we as mothers can say that behavior that I'm seeing is the tip of the iceberg, what's going on underneath is a lot of fear and uncertainty, and it makes sense to me that my child would turn up like that. So let's just see how I can be there and meet my child with understanding. So the more understanding we can come up with, the more the child feels at that basic level, even if they can't express themselves, that we are there with them, the more likely it is that we'll be able to maintain some cooperation and some semblance of normalcy so we can get safely from morning to evening. And Ruchama, I can't reiterate that enough. Parents started out a week ago, 2 weeks ago, with high hopes. Okay, you know, this is going to be a chavaya. We're going to have a homeschooling experience now. But as the days pass, most of us are getting really worn down from the experience. So if that's what's happening to you, understand that we're all in the same boat. And this is really rough. And the same way that we want to collect and be compassionate to our child and understanding of them, first and foremost, we need to collect ourselves, and we need to be compassionate to ourselves, and a lot of empathy, even if you screamed at your children this time, or even if you couldn't be calm when the children were fighting with each other, or even if you couldn't find a creative way to help when one is saying, you always stick up for him and not for me, be able to calm yourself, go into your room, take a tea, take a shower, run up and down the stairs 3 times, find some way that you can reset yourself with love and compassion so that you can come out and be there in the best way that you possibly can for your children. And, you know, Ruchama, I'd love to share something about trauma, if I could.
Sure.
Because I think that we need to recognize that for our children, the potential for trauma, this is a situation that holds a potential for trauma. And I'd like to share with you a research that was done that this is, you know, my final gift to you for today, and I think really helped me and many other people just enlighten for us what our main task is over this time. During World War II, the Nazis bombed London. Now, there were no munitions factories there. There were no soldiers there. They did it simply to demoralize the population so that England would pull out of the war. And it was very disconcerting. Well, all the windows had to be covered, and at night they'd hear bombs and a certain noise as it fell, you know, that squeaky noise, and then it would fall with a big bang. And every time children went out, they'd see rubble, and another house was on fire and more rubble. And it was an incredibly distressing, traumatic time for children. And what they used to do is at night, in the dark, the sirens would ring, and they'd have to hold their parents' hands and run to the underground. They'd run to the train stations, and they'd sleep there for the night and then go back home. So in the 80s, which is like 40 years later, some researchers did a study on people who, as children, had lived through the war in London, and now in their adulthood, did they have a lasting impact of the trauma of being in bombed out London, or were they able to process that? And what they found was that those parents who were nervous and anxious and ran with their children with a pervasive sense of anxiety, those children, all their lives, remained with an imprint of trauma on their souls. And the way that would look is if there was a loud noise or sudden movement, they would startle. And that's built into your brain. A startle is like when you blink from a piece of dust coming into your eye. There's nothing conscious about it. All their lives, these people would startle at these loud noises or sudden movements, and their response would be, what's happening? Who's there? Where's the attack? in contrast, the children who felt that their parents were with them, with conveying an attitude that said, you're okay, you're secure, we're here, we're taking care of you. There is a problem, and we're in the trouble, but your parents are here taking care of you. Those children seem to have processed that trauma, and they left it at the time. They did not remain with the imprint of the trauma throughout their lifetime, and they discussed it with the researchers as an experience that happened to them then, that they had moved on. Is that fascinating, Ruchama?
Very, very much so. Absolutely. I mean,
and then I
we
think, Ruchama, so right,
our,
if we,
you know,
right, if
I'm
we
sorry.
Take that home and say the most, when you ask me, what's the most important thing that we need to know? What can we do with our children? I'd say, well, write the word calm someplace in huge words on your wall so that you see it when you wake up in the morning and say, I need to calm myself, so I can present myself as a calm parent for these children. We've been home a couple of weeks. We're looking forward towards Yom Tov. We don't know what's going to happen, if and when. But if I can convey to my children that it's under control, your parents are here, we're taking care of you, you're secure with us, then whatever happens now, they'll be able to process it through their system, and it will be an experience that they remember, but it will not leave a trauma on their soul.
Absolutely, and how important is what you brought up about triggering, you know, an unprocessed childhood trauma reawakens when you face a child that triggers that. So,
yes.
Very important, and now is the time to pick up the phone and call so that we can set you up with a therapist from your living room. You can be home in pajamas, you can pour yourself a cup of coffee. You don't have to travel. You have insurance. Most insurances are accepted, and we can arrange for you to get a therapist. So anyone that is struggling, everyone is struggling. But if somebody needs some additional short-term help, feel free to call the NASC helpline. Thank you very, very much, Malky. Thank you for always being there for NASC parents, and I want to wish you all good for your family. Stay well. Thank you for being on tonight.
Amen. Thank you. And it's an honor to be part of the Mask family.
Thank you. And I want to wish everybody that we should be able to have a healthy and a good evening. We should be able to go to our place of davening, a prayer, shuls, this coming Shabbos. We should be able to hug our children, hug our spouses, and go back to real life and go into the Seder. We should be able to greet Mashiach before Pesach. So I just want to say, please stay safe. I usually end with hang in, hold on, but I will not say hug tight yet. So we're going to wait for that, do a virtual hug. I want to thank everybody. Have a good Shabbos and a healthy, safe, wonderful Yom Tov in this situation. Thank you and have a good night.
Are you looking for lost money? USAssetFinders.com specializes in locating and recovering lost assets such as bank accounts, stocks, bonds, utilities, deposits, safe deposit boxes, and escrow deposits. Many times money gets lost as deposits are given to open accounts at utility companies, and you forget about them. People move and sell their homes, but they forget to change their address, or companies send dividend checks or statements to the old address, but because there's a new owner, the mail gets returned and lost. Or people pass on if funds get lost in court proceedings. Now, when you do your Pesach cleaning and find your old stocks and bond certificates, U.S. Asset Finders realizes that many people have lost assets and they may know about it, but they get lost in the maze of paperwork. U.S. Asset Finders does all the work and you don't pay a fee until money is collected. They also help you navigate stock certificates and bonds you've inherited and help you become the administrator. Many times after estates were settled, they were still able to find them. random lost assets. Have you checked if you or your parents have lost assets? Call for a free search. 718-522-4294. That's 718-522-4294 or online at usassetfinders.com. If you don't call, you have nothing to lose but your money.